Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:03 on the clock. I want to say 7:04. I'm used to saying 7:04. I like routine. 7:03 on the clock. Your host, James J. here. Hope you are having a great start to your day. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
We got the gang back together. We're going to have some fun today, too. We're going to get into, in just a little bit, our National Day of Calendar. Looking forward to that. In this hour, we're going to also touch on a couple of other fun things. The most popular language to get tattooed.
Okay.
I think I know.
Okay. We'll have that coming up for us. Kids become more tech savvy than us when? Right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's many years ago.
It's a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Taco Bell's got a new item. And
it's probably not what I want it to be.
It definitely isn't. And it's got a swear word in it.
So. Oh, my.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. We will get into that a little bit later, as delicately as we can. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. After Melissa's news, we will be joined by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. 9 o'clock hour, got a little bit of entertainment news. We got to talk about some certain things in entertainment. And we'll have some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. I got a couple of doozies as far as the That Ain't Right stories. And I know we're into February already, but this has been a we've already been bombarded by That Ain't Right stories that are just weird.
They're piling up already.
Yeah, they are. They are. We've got a couple of really interesting ones in there today. I want to start off first how everybody's doing. Melissa, how are you doing this morning? How was the drive-in?
I'm good. It was fine. It was clear. Roads were fine.
Kind of a good time.
A
nice sky out there this morning.
Yeah.
It was dark.
Yeah.
I drove in.
And it's obviously hard to see, but it was just.
And then
just,
I'm in a room with no windows.
Yeah, that doesn't help anything. That doesn't help. Sky.
It's nice.
Did you have fun with Pat this morning?
Yeah, we had a good talk. Good. We talked about the director's cut show and worked on promoting that. So.
Cool. Very cool. Well, that's great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I only got to hear a snippet of it, his comments on John Williams, which was cool. But I did get a little I paused for a second because I heard the Star Wars music. And I've got something I wanted to start with Star Wars. And I was like, we're going to start with the same thing? And it was good. It was good. Good morning to Pat and the gang over there and stuff. Do great work. So, Seth, how was your start to your morning?
It's good. Everything's going just swimmingly.
Beautiful. Swimmingly. We need to use that more. We do. We need to use swimmingly more. Just keep swimming.
I think we should use it in the summer, though.
Yeah.
Or if it's raining a lot.
Maybe.
One of the others, all right. Good to hear, brother. Good to hear. So I do actually want to start on Star Wars, because we don't have to spend a ton of time on this, but 1,057,500. That is how much somebody spent on Han Solo's original blaster from the Star Wars movie.
Over a million dollars
for. Like, I thought that's the, like, I think it's one of the cooler, like, weapons in entertainment history. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really cool. And I would gladly pay that for the Millennium Falcon. Like, a real running Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Like,
sure.
I can go through hyperspace. I can do all that stuff. I get Chewie. Like, you know, because I want Chewie, too. I want Chewbacca. He's got to come with the Millennium Falcon. Then I'll spend the million. Sure.
Yeah.
Right on. But for a blaster that don't even work.
And who gets that money?
That's a wonderful question, because I believe it is the auction house that gets that.
Whoever's selling it through them, yeah.
Yep. Yep, that is what I'm seeing here. The Illinois-based Rock Island Auctions said the blaster is the only one of three to survive the modern day.
I wonder how it got to whoever it got to. Now, I bet you that'd be an interesting story.
Right.
Guinness World Records confirms the price earned the blaster the title of the most expensive prop gun sold at an auction.
It's expensive prop gun.
I feel like that's one of those things, because I've talked to some people about this, and when it comes to bidding on items and winning items and everything, and some of that is the thrill to win the item.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over all these strangers and everything.
Yeah.
A lot more of that, I think, happens on eBay than in big, fancy auction houses and everything.
Right.
But
because
still,
then it's your rivals.
Yeah. Yes.
Not strangers.
Yeah.
There's still a little of that, but I got to think that that's one of those things that, I want it. all right, wait a minute. Now what do I do with this thing?
And I got to pay a whole bunch of money. Yeah.
And how am I going to tell my accountant that I just spent $1 million on a prop gun?
What am I going to do with 50,000 pizza cutters? I don't know.
I do think this might be a better use of your time and money. The world's largest wearable cake dress unveiled at a Swiss expo.
Whoa.
A Swiss baker earned a Guinness World Record at a wedding fair by creating the world's largest wearable dress made out of cake. Guinness World Records announced Natasha Colin Fim Fakilakifokas of the Sweet Cakes Gramble Bakery. How did I mess up Gramble Bakery? But I got her name okay. She created the dress for the Swiss Wedding World Expo in Berlin.
Mm.
The dress, which weighs 289 pounds and 13 goodness. Ounces, was certified as the world's largest wearable cake dress, supported by the record-keeping organization. They did post a video of this. I'm going to try to go ahead and show you guys here real quick. Just get it up here. Putting this thing on looks like it's a hassle.
Okay. Yeah, so the model has to step under it to climb into it. So it's just the skirt. Well, and people are eating it.
Yeah,
they are while she's walking.
I was trying to tell. Wow. Is she walking around?
Yeah.
It looks like she was wandering around the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a solid structure. It's
solid. And it, mm-hmm. I mean, she's not walking around. If it's 200 some pounds, I don't know if she's necessarily walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe, so. You could carry 200 pounds on your hips.
Have you ever had somebody, good point. Have you ever had somebody, like a stranger do this, where you've got like some felt or something on your sweater, and they go and grab it and pull it out of the way? Like, that could be a little awkward, but right. you usually appreciate it. Yeah. Right. But it could be a little awkward and everything.
Well, it's better if they warn you first.
Sure, yeah. I for some reason, nobody ever warns me when they do that. I don't know why.
Just people touching you.
Yeah, yeah. This feels like that times a billion.
Well, yeah.
Like times a billion.
Let me just take a bite out of your skirt.
Hey, you don't mind if I... Oh, the end piece. Honey, we got the end piece.
Oh, this part's chocolate. I wanted vanilla. I'm going to go to the other side.
The end piece may have a different meaning the way I didn't really think of it that way.
Oh, man.
Do you go up? Because I would want to try a piece of that cake no matter what the flavor is. I definitely want to try. I am going to be as polite as possible about this, but I am definitely going to try and go up. Excuse me, I'm going to grab my slice of cake. Does it matter what flavor it is?
Not really.
I feel like a cake should be chocolate. I don't know why, but I feel like it should be.
Wedding cake very often isn't chocolate, though.
No.
It's very, very often vanilla or fancy flavors they have now.
Yes. Lemon they had or something at what like the last time I was at a wedding, which was I think my little brother's.
But just the fact that how much did it cost? Much would that cost if a bride wanted and that's another question. What bride wants an edible dress?
Yeah.
For her wedding.
I'm sorry, honey, I wasn't able to pass my wedding dress down to you because everybody
it got
ate
eaten.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we still have the structure. So actually, you could pass that down, and it could be made again.
Just make it again. Cake. Yeah.
Mm. Find a baker willing to do that, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a strong point, Melissa. And I'm still. I do you have to spend money on a cake if you buy this dress?
Well, I would think not. You've already spent it.
Did we find the money saving to weddings finally?
Cake and dress in one.
Yeah, just all in one. Maybe that's the new thing going forward. Like the guy, maybe we got this wrong. Maybe the guy's tux should be, I mean, how many guys keep their suit or rent a suit or something that for a wedding? Maybe it should be the guy's suit that's edible.
You know, maybe.
I could see some problems.
I think then tuxes would have to come with capes.
Yeah.
Because you could potentially make an edible cape.
Edible
pants, a little more difficult.
Oh, I was not thinking of the pants because I'm a guy. I was not thinking of the pants at all. Nothing sharp whatsoever, even towards my ankle. I was just thinking of the jacket, but I think both strong points.
Okay. Well, to her credit, it was pretty.
It was pretty.
Before they started eating it.
Yeah. That looked kind of weird.
It did look weird.
I was going to say, as soon as a piece is gone, then it doesn't look nearly as pretty. It doesn't look nearly as good. Yeah. A pest control technician investigating an insect problem at a California home made a startling discovery. About 700 pounds of acorns had been stashed inside the house's wall by woodpeckers.
Oh, my.
700 pounds?
That's a lot of acorns.
A lot of acorns.
Got to prepare for winter. Prepare for winter.
Wow.
In California, though, I mean, do you really need 700 pounds woodpeckers? I'm just I'm not trying to nitpick here, but wow. Nick Castro of Nick's Extreme Pest Control. You have to say it that way. Nick's Extreme Pest Control said he expected to find a dead animal inside the wall of a Glen Ellen home where residents reported seeing maggots and mealworms emerging from the wall.
Ew.
Castro cut a small hole in the wall and of the second floor bedroom and was shocked when acorns started pouring from the opening.
It's like a Chippendale cartoon.
Yes, yeah. And they just kept coming and kept coming.
He estimates at least 700 pounds, at least 700 pounds of acorns. The acorns were piled up 20 feet high. Castro said it took about 8 hours to remove the acorns. He said he repaired the damage of the home's exterior and added screens to protect the wood from the birds. What do you do if you, because I have a hard time believing that this is going on. It takes 8 hours and not one woodpecker had come by. If this is going on.
What are you doing? What are you doing with my stash?
I stashed that there, man. Come on. That's my stash. That's not cool. That seems a little rude.
I don't know. Do they need 700 pounds stashed up, though?
And were they coming back to eat them? Mm. Or were they just stashing them there?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
I do. That is a real, actually, yeah.
How did they get to them?
We've got birds with OCD or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the idea of them piling these up and keep forgetting. Oh, wait, that's right. I can't get in there. I got to collect more. Maybe that's why there's 700 pounds. It just keeps collecting more. We have a very forgetful woodpecker. Yeah, that's what it is.
There
we
you
have
go.
A very.
Yes.
Or a flock of them. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm.
But they're pretty territorial, aren't they?
They are. They are territorial, and they are also have a similar to hummingbirds, have a very high metabolism. Which again, mm-hmm. I don't know why we need 700 pounds. That I don't. I feel like you know. I don't know. That did seem very.
Maybe they know something we don't know. Oh boy.
Well,
California, get worried. Yeah.
It was. I don't know. I did want to at some point today, get into a little bit of the recent earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria. One of the scarier, creepier things to me that happened, because horror movies don't scare me anymore. Real life does. Mm-hmm. You know? And when you've got flocks and flocks of birds circling around that area right before it happens. And everything, knowing that something was going to happen. Wow. I don't know if they knew an earthquake was going to happen, but the animals knew something was going on because the birds are flying right over that area, or certain areas, I should say, where the discs collided, which is what happened under the ground, and that's what caused the earthquakes. Because there was two earthquakes, just to make sure everybody understands. Because I see some reports on this, and I see the total number of lives lost, and that's very important. I don't feel like that should be the headline. I don't feel like that should be the number one thing up there. I feel like some more details should be up there as far as that there were two quakes and how these quakes occur. Because there's a lot of people scared, a lot of nervousness out there, and I think that if people understand the details more, the loss of life is extremely important, and to me, the most important part of this. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe it belongs in the headline, because that takes you away, and you immediately feel like you've already read the article. Okay, the most important thing to me is the loss of life. I see the number, so I understand that. I take that from this. My empathy is pulled in, et cetera, et cetera. I do not mean to sound cold-hearted here. We can't do anything about those lives lost. We can try to find survivors. Mm-hmm. That is important. And understanding the science behind this and more, how many people out there understand what causes an earthquake? And how the likelihood of future quakes are as soon as one happens. Like, these little things, they matter. Is it happening on the other side of the world? Yeah. But here's this weird thing I learned the other day. And I was looking at this thing called a globe. It turns out we're all connected, and all these plates and everything else is going on in our Earth and everything. It literally affects all of us. So I think that stuff is a little more important. Not more important, but just should be put. It's the way that you project these things. It's the way that you put them out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we'll have time to get a little more into the science and details of that and everything. But that was, you mentioned the birds and that kind of thing. That first thing that pops in my head, and certainly sending our hearts out to the people in that area that were affected by this in Turkey and Syria. Just horrible, horrible situation out there with that. I do find a lot of hope in that situation, though, too. you are seeing it's very similar to when we've had tragedies here or some more recent tragedies that we have seen where people are just coming together, strangers helping strangers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good work being done over there when it comes to this, and it needs to be because it's just devastation over there with what that is. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll get into our National Day Of calendar. Keep on listening, everybody. We've got some good stuff coming up for you right here on the morning show at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Looking into our National Day Of calendar now for the... No, that's not it.
I never do that.
I never do that.
We're on the air.
Are we live?
Yeah.
I didn't know we were live.
Hey.
Oh, well. hello, everybody. I'm a little nervous now. It is time for us to dive into our National Day Of calendar for this February 8th, 2023. I live my life live. Everything's live for me. Everything. So I'm used to it. National Kite Flying Day.
Hey.
That's just mean, though. For half the world, it's in winter.
It's true. I mean, if you're just I don't know, daring, you can go fly a kite today.
Yeah.
I would like to see somebody in the middle. Actually, it's not such, if you're going to fly a kite in the winter, today might
today
be the day,
be the
to,
day
do
day
it.
To do it. Yeah.
Definitely not
you're
tomorrow.
You're going to need some wind, though. It doesn't look very windy out there.
No, it doesn't.
No.
No, which is weird because the last couple of days we've had some really wicked, weird wind around here at least. Yeah.
Do it during a snowstorm, yes. I'd like to see that. Yeah, that's a real kite flying.
Mm.
Laugh and get rich day.
Huh?
That was the most awkward laugh ever.
Yeah. But it didn't work either.
Need a better laugh.
You're not rich either.
You got no more
what
money.
Happened? The money would just...
No, that's
still nothing.
No.
Okay.
Well, I guess it's got to be genuine. I guess it's by
yeah, probably.
I know you think it is a silly excuse to have a holiday, but think about it. Laughing helps in everything. It even helps in tedious, dry, and boring moments. Don't tell me you haven't had the rogue giggle attack in a moment of seriousness. I love the rogue giggle attack. I love that. That's a great sentence.
It's a great phrase.
That's a good
Let's
sentence.
Keep that one.
I like that one. The creation of Laugh and Get Rich Day was only your best in. Had only your best interest at heart. The day is about encouraging laughter so that the effects can be felt across all areas of life. Science has proven that laughter actually can be medicine. Those who are in pain or suffering from chronic illness can increase the production of endorphins. When the body releases endorphins, the result is a lift in mood and a decrease in pain. This is the basis for what might be accomplished on Laugh and Get Rich Day.
Still not making the connection between the and get rich
part. It's going to enrich your body.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, I'd say after your enrichment day then. That makes more sense to me.
There's a popular phrase, get rich or die trying. I don't know if they're playing on that and like trying to find a lighter way of that because
possibly
I would choose to, I have no problem with having more income and being richer. I'm going to stay alive. I'd rather be alive than rich.
Yeah, that's true. Me too. Mm.
just me. National Molasses Bar Day. Those are good.
Sounds tasty.
I've only had molasses cookies. I've never had a molasses bar.
I love the end. Love the end of it.
Always the end really pieces, good. Right?
Yeah,
end
yeah.
Pieces.
Yeah.
the heels, if you will.
Yes, yes. It's a treacle in British English. Is essentially a thick, sugary syrup made from sugar cane or sugar beets that contains large amounts of calcium, iron, and magnesium. Beet molasses is 50% sugar by weight, and sugar is sometimes extracted from beet molasses, though molasses desugarization.
Hard word to say. Wow.
Cane molasses is, it's just physically impossible for me to say something against sugar or something that involves less sugar. My mouth couldn't even do it. Yeah, my mouth couldn't. The word molasses actually comes from the Portuguese word malaco, which evolved from the Latin mel, meaning honey.
Oh, cool. Didn't know that.
Melissa means honeybee.
I was going to say, yeah. I did not know that, though. I learned that a while ago, and then I completely forgot to bring it up with you. This sticky and sweet stuff has been used as far back as the 1500s as a sweetener for food. There was a guy in my old neighborhood. He would sell Italian ices, and you could always tell when he ran out because he'd just sell you sugar cane, like stalks of sugar cane. And so, for a quarter, you get like this stalk of sugar cane, and a bunch of project kids running around like hyped up on sugar. Yeah, exactly. Just pure, unadulterated, just natural sugar.
Yes. First one's free, kid.
I love that stuff though. I miss that every day. I miss that just that stalk of sugar cane and just gnawing on that thing. And it is World Opera Day.
Oh, wow.
I would like to go to an opera someday.
Me too.
Dust off your windpipes, take a deep breath, and get ready to belt out your appreciation for Opera Day. Operas have been captivating audiences since the 16th century, and this highly revered art form continues to gain new enthusiasts, complete with its own special day.
Mm-hmm.
While many of us would recognize an opera if we heard one, we may not be as familiar with the definitions and distinctions surrounding this complex music genre. In short, an opera is a piece of performing art that combines music with text to create a dramatic enactment of a story complete with acting, scenery, costumes, and dance. The term opera is, in fact, the Italian word for work. And the next is called the libretto. Libretto, which means small book. There are a whole range of types from opera seria, noble and serious, opera buffa, comedic, operetta, light opera, and semi-opera, combined spoken dialogue with mask-like sections. Generally speaking, operas consist of two kinds of music, recitatives, and arias.
Mm-hmm.
Recitatives closely resemble speech and are there to help move the plot along, whereas arias are elaborate and often long songs for individual characters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've turned into monologues.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
My nana, I knew the word opera meant work in Italian because my nana would often tell us, get opera out there. I want to see an opera when I come back in here. I want to see some opera, like little things like that. Like, seriously, she would throw that in there.
I believe it.
So Jill and I would tease her when she would come back in the room, and we'd be singing, or something like that. It was fun.
That's great.
It was fun. She'd laugh. I don't think it was a real laugh. I think it was a humorous laugh. I think she was just humoring us. That's a good one. I like that one.
Just so everyone knows, if you would like to see some opera, the Madison Opera is going to be doing this spring in April, The Marriage of Figaro. One of the greats.
Yeah, that one's very renowned.
Yes, it is. So
that is a good one.
If you want to take in, that's a good one to be a first opera, too, if people want to check it out. So
yeah, that would be. That would be. And that is going to do it for our National Day of Calendar. But for now, we're going to move out of the way, and we'll get to Melissa's news. We'll have some more fun when we get back talking about what the best language to get, or what most popular language to get tattooed in is. Talk about that. Come back on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James, Seth is no longer with us. Seth is...
I vote him to stay.
I'm keeping him on the island.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, okay, fine. He can
this
stay.
Is such a fun song to sing harmonies to.
I bet it is. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Shout out to our head of production, Seth Hatbagger, for
torturing James.
Yes, yes. I wanted to get into this one, and actually I've wanted to for a couple of days. I've been sitting on it. It just is a fun topic, I think. English is the most spoken language around the world, but when it comes to having a tattoo with words, most people around the world opt for different languages. New research has ranked the most popular language word-based tattoos, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. And this is funny to me for a number of reasons. So here's the top 10. Do you want to take a guess at the top language that people get, tattooed on them?
I would guess Chinese characters.
It's a good one.
Yeah. I would say that same thing, too, but since I should try something else, how about Italian?
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Or Latin.
I think are all good votes. And my second question, because I don't believe neither of you had tattoos, correct?
I have some.
Oh, you do have some. I'm sorry. That's right. You do have some.
Seth doesn't have any. I don't have any.
Okay. No. Would you get a tattoo, Seth, at this point in your life?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I have no desire and no reason to. So
my dad is the only person I know that outside of like that doesn't have any tattoos and is above the age of 40 that would or 30, 40, that kind of range. And above that has been talking about this for years.
Really?
Yeah, just been talking about it for years.
Aww, you should just get him an appointment.
I want to. I've been doing that and stuff. And he just keeps putting it off and everything. He even knows the people that would be tattooing him and stuff. He knows Dan pretty well, actually. That's a whole other story. Getting into this, the top languages, Japanese, number one. Mm. Chinese, number two. There you go. Arabic, number three.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Latin, Korean, Greek, French, Spanish, Italian, and coming in at number 10 is English.
Wow.
The most common language tattoos are names, followed by a single letter or character, a quote, a word, and then lyrics. In addition to this, people may be prioritizing efficiency. You have limited space for a tattoo, and English can be a lot wordier than the top picks.
Right.
But if you're getting a foreign language, make sure it means what you think it means.
Yes.
America is the number one in demand for tattoo removals and corrections.
That's good.
I don't know a single person that has not gotten a Japanese tattoo symbol on them that has not gotten it wrong. I don't know one person that I'm positive that it exists,
right.
But I don't know a single person that has gotten it done and got it done right.
Yeah, exactly.
But the you really, really want to go to somebody that not only knows what they're doing, but knows the language. Yep.
Yeah.
The Chinese alphabet is like, what, 3,000 characters long?
Yeah.
It is very big. It is very complicated, even for the people that use it.
Yeah.
In Japan and China. Even kids have, I mean, when they're learning it, it takes a long time to learn the alphabet. So some tattoo person from the United States may not know it so well. Just saying.
I actually did have on my leg originally, I had a Japanese tattoo. It said, I meant to live, to know, and to learn. And I got it and then immediately panicked. Because I did it on it's the only tattoo, then it's one of the few times in my life I've done something on a whim kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
Didn't plan ahead.
Yeah. And I just wanted.
And you went with kanji?
And I don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking. I was married with two kids next to me, so I don't know if that had. No, I'm not. I really love the phrase to live, to know, to learn. It's something that I still to this day, even though it's not tattooed on me anymore, it's something that I really do keep in my head, a mantra that I love. But yeah, I've had two different tattoos over that one since.
Okay.
And now it's finally looks good and it's finally where I want it and everything. But I mean, that took over 10 years to get to this point where it's finally where it is. I was bound and determined. Now it doesn't matter, but I was bound and determined to not go to the grave with this horrible tattoo on my leg. Yes, yes.
Correct though?
Yeah, it was correct. Okay. It was at least correct. But I panicked for a while there because I wasn't sure. And I'm very lucky that I've got some, you know, Asian and some Japanese friends and stuff and asking them over and over. But this is before cell phones, really. This is before I can just text a picture to them.
Yeah.
So I actually drove like 2 hours. I had to drive all 4 hours to get to Illinois to go talk to my Japanese friends and just to ask them, basically. I did get to see some relatives, but I was panicked about
still,
that.
That's funny. Wow. What does it say on his leg after you pass away? What is that? I'm with Stinky. What the?
Poor James.
Poor James. He had no idea.
He loves Stinky, though. Loves Stinky. He really did.
Who was Stinky?
Everybody, that's the whole funeral. Yeah. It's just this hushed voice. Who was Stinky? Who was Stinky? Was that his nickname for one of us? We didn't know? We didn't know.
Big mystery. Starts a big fight in the family.
I am Stinky.
I do have the English language. I have a phrase on my left arm, and that's in English. But I see what they're talking about. I didn't think about it at the time. But it is a lot longer on my arm than it needs to be because it's in English, and it's in cursive. So
yeah.
It's,
oh, wow.
That part. But I don't know. I think if you can avoid it, you know, it's probably a good idea to get to stay away from those things. And I have heard some people talk about it being not cultural appropriation, but it is akin to that. It is a little bit in that ballpark of it. That gets a little dicey because language is for everybody.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And language can be spoken by anybody. But I can see I could see how if I see somebody who is an Italian and they're walking around with some Italian, like they have the Italian horn tattooed on them or the country of Italy tattooed on them, that would be a little confusing. I wouldn't be offended. Yeah. I'd just be confused.
There's a story behind that.
I thought you were a paisan. I thought you were a paisan of mine or something. And I'm speaking Italian to you and you don't know what you're talking. I feel like that part seems a little more.
I really like landmasses that look like boots.
Yeah,
that's what I like.
I have Wisconsin on my other arm.
Louisiana's next.
Yeah, that's right.
Florida, you're coming.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's kind of a point shoe.
Kind of a point shoe. We'll take a quick break, come back, and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. And be sure to be joining us right at the top of the hour. We'll have CBS News. After that, we'll go right to a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Let you know what Mother Nature's got in store. I know we have some snow expected in the next couple of days. Talk about that, I'm sure. After that, we will get into the 10 most common everyday dramas we all endure.
Ooh.
Should be an interesting list.
All right.
For now, our kids are smarter than us. That's just a fact that we all
it's a good
get
thing,
it.
Yes.
Don't tell them that. I'm only saying this because most of them are on their way to school or in school right now and all that. But between all of us, we all get it. Our time is numbered. If you've got an 11-year-old at home, you've got one more year before they are they're your tech support.
Yep.
According to a new poll, the age when kids become more tech savvy than their parents is 12 years old.
Wow.
Okay.
That's interesting.
It's probably going to get younger, though, as time goes on.
I was wondering that. I was wondering about that. 47% of all parents with kids under 18 said the children are better with tech than they are. So it can happen even earlier, but 12 is the average. 1 in 7 parents said the kids have been outwitting them before and disabled things like parents' controls on social media. We also don't know a lot of slang they use online. 2/3 of parents said that their kids have used a word or a term they've never heard of. We're not even sure what their favorite apps and websites are either. Only 28% said that they know what Discord is, and just 11% have heard of the popular social media app Be Real.
Wow.
A lot of other people are just learning those are actual things.
Yeah, exactly. The what now?
I only do because I have students. I have students here and talking about these things or asking me to, hey, can I, instead of Snap, can I message you on this app or this app? And I'm like, I'm not downloading any more apps. I only have Snap because of you guys. I'm not doing this. Can we just teach you? Can we just, this is comedy we're doing. I mean, let's not over reinvent the wheel here or anything.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like it is a natural course to not know the language, you know, to terms and hip words and all that kind of thing. That's just natural life.
Right,
that is the way this whole thing works and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think that there's actually a bonding thing that can exist and a confidence that can be built in kids through this. Mm-hmm. Where it's every little kid, maybe we forget this and stuff, but I saw it yesterday having some of the kids in the 7th and 8th graders from Rams and stuff and talking about this. When they have a chance to, when you go to them and you go to them to answer a question or something like that, the amount of pride they feel in feeling like an adult for a second or two or something, you carry that with you.
Yeah, now, throughout what they say matters.
Yeah, yeah. And so I like the idea of, hey, I don't know how to log into my account. Could you help me? Like, it's kind of fun to be able to do that. It's kind of a good bonding thing. It's frustrating for us, and it can be a little like a kick in the pride a little bit, but that's okay. It's all right. That's fine. You can handle that. You'll survive. Mm-hmm. That kid is going to be built from it.
Yeah.
It is a little worrisome to me that 28% of people don't know more about the apps their kids are using, though. That part is a little more dangerous to me. That part is a little more.
It seems like you should be more aware of what's going on. But now, to be fair, their kids may not be forthcoming and using it without even thinking about it too. So, I mean, there's that too. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, because there can be some, you know, unkosher things out there.
It's all about having those conversations.
Yeah. Yes,
indeed it is.
And having that open, you can come to me with anything.
I was going to say, talking is the biggest thing here. I'll never forget. My mom only did this once, and she never did things like this. But she went in my top drawer when I was in school once. And it freaked me out. I didn't like it. She had every reason in the world to do it. She was completely in the right. Absolutely. I wasn't hiding anything, but if I had been, it probably would have been in there. And I was that kid. I was a knucklehead and everything, so I completely understand why she did it. But I asked that question in part because, is the modern equivalent of that going through your kid's phone or their tablet and looking, okay, what apps are you using? I want to see. I'm not saying you got to go in depth and going through their DMs and all these things.
Right, no.
Although I don't know if I'm against that at a certain age. At a certain age, you know, if they're 17, good luck.
Right.
But I don't know if I don't know the balance here of this, and I'm thanking God that I don't. And mine are in their 20s and everything, and would only laugh at me if I asked to look at their tablet now.
Right. Yeah, whatever, dude.
Does Dad know what a tablet is?
Yeah.
Does
he do? This is called a cell phone, Dad.
Yes, the screen is bigger than yours.
I think about it. My mom and dad were talking about this a couple weekends ago, and talking about how kids out here, how happy they are for these kids out here, and like their nephews and nieces and nephews, because of not dealing with gangs and things like that I dealt with and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, but I knew where they were. I knew what's okay. I'm not going down that block. Or I'm not going over this road. That road's safe. Things like this. And I had a sanctuary. I got on my block. I got my high rise. I was fine. That kind of thing. These kids nowadays with this stuff, there's no sanctuary. There's no getting away from it. It's always there. Mm-hmm. It's always on. And you can turn a tablet off. You can have parental control in these things, but it's always going to be there. It's sitting there waiting for them. They may not be able to answer a message or a comment or something like that, but it's still going to be sitting there as soon as they do turn it on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Very true.
It's a different world to navigate.
And yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the right way to do some of these things. I do think it's worth talking about, though.
It is.
Because, and most importantly, talking about with your kids.
Right.
Exactly.
Certainly talking with other parents and all those things. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But talking
but
with
that's
your,
a support group for you.
Yes.
That is not an actual meeting place for you and your child to come to understanding.
And it's one of those, because of the potential downsides of it, it's something, like talking about alcohol and talking about smoking and sex and all the other things that, these are not necessarily, bad things, but bad things can happen from them.
Right.
And then some social media apps are in that list, if you ask me. Yeah.
And those are tough conversations.
They are.
They're important.
Not easy. Yep.
It's also kind of funny. It's just, here's how you tie your shoes. Here's how you spell your name. Here's how your ABCs.
Here's how you don't get taken advantage of on the internet.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And then 10 years later, hey, could you help me type my name into my computer? I can't.
Where did my keyboard go?
Kidding. My keyboard. Where's the mouse? I don't have a mouse thing. You don't need that, Dad. But I need a mouse.
And I think our generation, broadly speaking, is actually better equipped than our parents were.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because at least we grew up with some sort of, technology.
Yeah,
we know
at a fairly young age.
Mm-hmm. We know the basic way computers work and that kind of stuff. So if you give us something like a cell phone, we're like, okay, then it's touchscreen. There are apps on it. We can figure it out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the next generation if there is one of those big, things that happens that, that everyone starts using a different, maybe it's VR, maybe whatever, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, as technology continues
exactly,
to advance.
Then I think we'll be more like, hey, can you help me, please?
How do? I don't know what this is.
What is this thing? What is this?
I think it's at least once every week and a half, if not more, that I help my parents with something tech wise. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that much. I don't know that much. my mom the other day, I was helping her with something, and I come back and I do it or whatever, and she's like, "Geez, Jimmy, I don't know how you learn these things." I'm like, "Mom, I literally learned this like 2 seconds ago.
I searched on YouTube.
I googled it. Yeah, which makes them feel a little bit better too. And so much of it too, because it's really cool to me to see young people learn and grow and all that. I don't, no matter what the field is or what they're doing. I don't think that gets old really though, because when I see my mom like get a confidence with something as simple as copy and paste, you know, that seems so simple to all of us and everything, but for her it was a big deal, like just being able to get that little mouse and all that. Now she does it like it's nothing, and she's very proud of it. I think that's really cool. It's that you don't get to see that with your parents very often.
Yeah,
that's true.
So the reverse of this is also kind of cool, where we, as our generations, if you will, are able to help the older generations with this stuff. I do also love the idea of messing with them. not gonna lie, I do. I have more than once when my mom has asked me, "Jimmy, come up here," you know, and I go up and I look at her laptop and look at her like, "What did you do? What did you do, my nurse?"
Oh man,
you're
nice.
Mean.
That's so terrible. Oh,
where do you think I learned it from? Her. She's the one that's done this to me, Michael.
I learned it from watching you.
Yes, absolutely. My poor father just sits back like, "I want nothing to do with this." Like, you guys and your April Fool jokes and all that. It's my brother and sister don't even like any of that stuff. It's just my mom and I that like messing with each other and love sarcasm.
Okay.
To the point we cannot turn it off.
Oh, boy.
As Melissa knows worse than anybody, probably. Taco Bell could have called this the Big Gas Mexican Pizza.
What?
Because that's what you'd end up with, of course, if you ate it. Taco Bell is selling an oversized Mexican pizza on Super Bowl Sunday. And the name they came up with includes a swear word. It rhymes with Big Gas Mexican Pizza.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense now.
Gotcha.
It's the size of an actual pizza, and it's meant to be shared. There's good news and bad news, though. The bad news is you will not be able to order it, at least not this Sunday. They're only delivering them to a handful of people in Glendale, Arizona, where the Super Bowl is. All the people were chosen through Taco Bell's app last month.
Oh, boy.
It's not clear if they plan to add it to the nationwide menu at any point, but for now, it's just a promotional thing. The good news is they're giving out free regular Mexican pizzas all weekend if you order delivery through the app and spend $20. I don't know. $20 of Taco Bell food, I think that's like you can eat for a year. These promotional things only work when you include more people. They have such a bad history of doing these little things like this, and a little niche thing, and the rest of the society being like, what about us?
What about us? We're left out. But think about what they would have to do to implement that across their entire franchise. They'd have to put in new equipment, new packaging, and new product, because the tortilla's got to be bigger.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be just easier if they brought back Melissa's favorite thing?
Yeah. Well, just bring back the 7-layer burrito. That's all we need.
Let's do it. See, it would just be easier. You know.
It's funny too. You're not alone.
On that. Thank you.
You're not alone on that one too. Like, ever since you first brought this up, we've had listeners. We've had. I've seen other people like mention this and everything. You are not alone on this fight, Melissa.
There's very few vegetarian options at fast food restaurants, number one.
For sure.
And that was a good burrito.
I was hoping it started something of a rant here. I'm being an instigator to this.
I noticed that. I like it. I don't know necessarily, like, promotion-wise, if this is going to have the effect that they're really hoping it's going to have. I will say, though, that it's not an easy game. The promotion and let alone promoting for the Super Bowl, it's
try to come up with an original ad, and we do this every day around here, you know? So we know a little bit about that. Try to come up with an original way to promote your product. Well, we know a little something about that, too. And we're in an industry that's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
A lot has been done. It's not that different than the fast food industry or bringing in the Super Bowl and incorporating that. So to be fair, I don't want to make it sound like, well, I'd come up with something better. I got nothing off the top of my head either to talk about.
Well, they should just jump on the wedding band. You know,
there you go. There you go.
Because
taco cake.
Yeah.
I mean, taco dress.
Taco dress. Taco Bell. A bell is in the shape of a dress.
Melissa needs to be in there. She's the one that's got the idea.
You need to get a little C with a circle around it and copyright that. You need to copyright that right now.
Taco dress.
It's a good idea. That's a very good idea. Would you? Does this sound good to you? Like, if you could eat it, Melissa, what does this sound good to you?
Mexican pizzas are good.
Mm-hmm.
It does look just like a regular pizza.
It's multi-layered like the Mexican pizza that they have. But does the one that they serve, because I've never bought it, does it have stuff on top of it like that one?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I've never had it either.
Yeah, I've never
had it
either.
I thought it was just in between the...
It's a great question. We should call up Taco Bell and ask him.
I really don't.
We should. They're not open yet.
I pick on it, but I really don't hate Taco Bell. I'm just a Taco John's guy.
Yeah, me too.
But if they would love to advertise with us, and I mean, I could easily be swayed. I can be bought for the right price.
Now everyone knows if you got the right price.
Free food.
Free food.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Their small one does have stuff on top of it, too.
Okay. There you go.
Cheese and sauce and whatever, tomatoes.
What you were saying before about changing up your, you know, having to have new equipment and those things, that's part of why it's so interesting to me what Subway is doing. Because Subway is introducing that. They're going to be having their own, like, a slicer there in their stores, and all these all the stores have to have slicers so that they can slice the meat. And it's not like they're going to do it like Jimmy John's or anything where they're doing it for the meal they're preparing.
Yep.
It's just they're going to slice the meat and have it sitting there.
Like they do now.
Basically. But basically, the difference is there's a slicer for you to look at now. And so this makes you feel better about it, I guess.
Freshly sliced? Yeah.
More work for the employees?
Exactly.
Is this to make us feel like we should tip them? Because I mean, they just put out those tip jars.
Yeah. That's sneaky ridiculous to me. For one, I'll always tip people. Always. If I got $2 to my name, a dollar of it's going to a tip. A lot of my family comes from that industry of waiting on people, of those kind of things. I know what a tip means. If I'm at a restaurant or any of those things, definitely doing it. And the tipping, any job that has or a tipping thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to a Subway or a fast food place, the company should be paying them enough where they don't need a tip from me.
Yes.
Got it.
And that's going on is... Why are we letting that just skate by? Like, we should be holding them accountable to that. Like, we should be definitely calling them out on that more often.
There are some places that implemented that right when they opened. Like, Cold Stone Creamery.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tip them, they will sing to you.
Yeah.
So
a little different.
That's different. Yep. They do it as a kind of gimmick thing, mm-hmm. which is totally fine because they've done it from the beginning. Subways, not so.
Yeah. It's messed up. That's a messed up way to do it. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and not only will we have CBS News, we'll have a live, direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center here at WFHR.